Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe. Dale, I just had the tease of the century right there.
I've been on the edge of my seat since you spoke.
I know. You tried getting it out of me during the break. Wouldn't tell you who it was. I have two free agents. Well, first of all, how would you grade the offseason for the Patriots thus far?
C+, B-.
Yeah, it's not really a lot going on, right? I mean, it's more than a not applicable because they have made some moves. They have signed some guys. They've let some guys go. And the only guy that they let go that I really, really wanted to keep was Trey Flowers, but he costs $1 zillion.
Way more than I think they should have paid.
Yeah, and they've been pretty quiet. They got the draft, obviously, next month. But there's still two guys out there because free agents are getting snapped up. I know you really wanted Vontaze Burfict.
Not even a little.
You can't get him.
You know what I find amusing, by the way?
What's that? Where he went?
Well, because the Oakland Raiders have apparently agreed to a one-year contract with Vontaze Burfict.
He's a good player.
Back in 2012, Mike Mayock, who was then a draft analyst, deemed Burfict undraftable.
Yeah, I don't know why they did. Why they deemed him undraftable. That was really surprising to me because he went undrafted, and he was like an All-American, or he was like a really highly ranked guy.
Well, Mayock said he looked at his film, and he said he's undraftable. Can't play.
Yeah, he's slow. And then he ends up being a rookie. He had like over 100-and-something tackles. He was a Pro Bowler his second year in the league. Now, he's obviously a bit of a dirty player as well, but he's carved out a pretty solid career for himself, but he's off the market. Clay Matthews, who I think is absolutely cooked. That guy looked terrible last year. He signs a two-year deal with the Rams. I don't think
a one-year deal, let's be
honest. True. I don't think he's going to really help them. But I have two guys. I have one offensive player and one defensive player that I would like the Patriots to sign. Who would you like to hear first?
Is this like a Stephen A. thing where you're going to say a player that's no longer available?
There's a good chance, yes.
Thomas Jones, Raymond.
You guys can let me know if these guys are available or not. Do you want the offensive player or the defensive player?
I want the defensive player.
All right, I'm going to tell you who the defensive player is. Dale's going to love this guy. Ndamukong Suh.
No, thank you.
What do you mean? They need D-line. They lost Danny Shelton.
You just know he overvalues himself.
Ndamukong Suh.
That's my guy.
Now, you just know that he wants three times the money that Bill Belichick will be willing to pay.
Yeah, he might. And they brought in Mike Pennell, so they did get a big guy up front. But Malcolm Brown, who was a first-round pick, and I think you'd have to look back on it and say a bust of a first-round pick. Because not only was he a guy that you didn't re-sign, you never even, like, does anybody care that Malcolm Brown is gone? Like, nobody even knows. Nobody even thought of, like, think about that.
If they hadn't announced anything, you still wouldn't know.
You'd have no clue, and nobody's mad about it. Like, that is, usually the Patriots hit home runs in the first round. Usually. Over the long course of Belichick drafting for the Patriots, Malcolm Brown, he wasn't bad enough to cut, like, Dominic Easley, but he wasn't good enough for anybody to care. So you're losing him. You're losing Danny Shelton, who also wasn't very good. I know Trey Flowers isn't a interior defensive lineman, but just on that front group, he's also gone.
Yep.
So I like the idea of Ndamukong Suh.
By the way, I'm not sure he's got a whole lot of game left either.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. He turned it on the playoffs last year. He was good.
Ndamukong Suh.
Remember?
They're
like, watch out for that guy.
See, I think that's a bad thing, not a good thing.
Yeah, maybe.
The fact that he decided, you know, I'll play now.
You think Belichick coach him up? Maybe he's got a lot of respect for Belichick.
I hear that a lot, huh?
Yeah, I know. It could be like Albert Haynesworth 2.0.
A lot there's Albert a chance. Haynesworth.
But he was at least decent this year, or at least in the playoffs. But I like Ndamukong Suh. You guys seem to be kind of a warm maybe on him.
What's the money?
Whatever he wants. No,
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, good plan there. $100 million.
Give me a pen. Give me a pen, Ndamukong, whatever you want. No,
well, I see guys like Randall Cobb making $5 million a year.
Yeah, it seems outrageous,
so
doesn't it?
I think he's going to want a lot more than that.
But what did they give Adrian Claiborne last year? Like six? They gave Adrian Claiborne way more money than he deserved and that he played up to. They paid Dwayne Allen the last couple of years more money than he deserved. So the money might surprise you. I mean, he's not going to be one of the five highest paid defensive players, right? McCourty and Hightower and Gilmore will all certainly be paid more than him. But I like him. I think they could use another guy up front. So
Claiborne was 2 years, 10 mil.
Oh, was it? Five and five? No, I thought it was more
without
than that.
Knowing the bonuses.
Yeah, you didn't. You don't know anything. Without the bonuses, what do you know? Nothing.
I think that's a little harsh about our
too much
Rossi pal.
Where am I wrong?
You don't know anything.
Where am I wrong?
Well, I didn't say you were wrong. I just said it was harsh.
Oh, fair. That's fair. Okay. And the other guy, the offensive player that I want them to sign, Jared Cook. Still available.
I like that one.
Okay, good. So
I'm with
we're 50-50.
I'm with you on Jared
50-50.
Cook.
50-50. NFL.com has a write-up on it, and it says that the tight end market is absolutely barren behind Cook, who could add 800 yards of seam-stretching offense to just about any attack.
Did they drop seam-stretching offense?
Yes, wow. What it says here. And then it says the Packers should have kept him a few years back because they could use a player like him now. I don't know if they're connecting the two or not. They're saying that's a need for him. But when you look at all these different websites have done their, you know, top 100 free agents and all this stuff, well, out of the guys that are ranked in the top 20, there's not very many of them left. It's like Justin Houston is still available, Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah, and then Jared Cook. Like, that's kind of it. That's sort of who's left. So everything else is going to sort of now go towards the draft and trades. Like, if the Patriots add anybody else, they're always very active when it comes. They trade as much as any other team in the NFL. You'd have to think maybe it's one of those
they
guys.
Like they, especially yeah. draft days. They yeah. love wheeling and dealing on draft days.
They also love pro days. Bill Belichick, you see him yesterday?
Surprised. He's not at Ohio State. He is at Georgia today. The biggest Hardo move of all time would be wear the Alabama shirt to Georgia today.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Wear the Alabama shirt that Nick Saban gave you. Look over at the Georgia.
At the dogs. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Although they drafted two Georgia Bulldogs last year in the first round.
I know.
They like to draft at least two guys from one team, it seems like, every year. So look for that. That'd be my one.
It's the buddy system. It's the like Patriots
yeah.
buddy system.
They come in, they're like, you know him. You're friends with him. Here was Nick Saban yesterday talking about Bill Belichick being at the pro day.
I mean, we're personal friends, so we talk about kids and grandkids, and we talk about personnel because they're interested in guys that they bring to their team, and then we're both kind of still very involved in the football part of what's going on, so we'll talk quite a bit about, you know, X's and O's, as you put it. So it's a wide range of things, but and then there's a little storytelling that goes with it too, because, you know, we go back a long ways and we had lots of kind of experiences that we both kind of learned from.
You got him an Alabama shirt. How'd you get that?
I didn't give it to him, but I'm glad he's got it.
Nick, calm down. This guy must be fun at parties.
What a wacky funster, huh?
This guy's out of control. Somebody easy, Nick. How similar is Saban and Belichick? It's almost startling.
Which is probably why they like each other so much.
Yeah, no, it is. But Bill Belichick,
I just wonder when they are talking X's and O's.
Yeah.
Is there like a force field that goes out from them so that every other coach within 20 yards gets pushed 30 yards away from the circle?
Yeah, probably. People try to eavesdrop. What's Bill talking about?
Worthy of that.
Like, do you mind if I just stand here in the general conversation and just see what's going on? Now, Alabama has a tight end. I think it's Irv Smith that is projected in the
first
round.
Loved his work on CBS Sports.
You like Irv Smith?
Yeah.
There? Yeah, he's good. This is junior, must be.
Oh, okay.
But that would make sense. Like, in the first round, I think tight end, whether Gronk is back or not, I think still makes a lot of sense for them to do.
Speaking of Belichick, just a quick little story. And for those people who have a certain perception of Belichick, you know, my way or the highway and how he handles things and how he handles people, did you see what he's done here in the last couple of days?
What's that?
So defensive tackle Lawrence Guy played 49.6% of the snaps this year. He needed 50%. To earn a $400,000 bonus. This week, the Patriots tweaked his contract to give him a $400,000 signing bonus to make up for the $400,000 that he just barely missed.
Yeah. He was good this year.
Yes. James White could have earned $250,000 if he played 60% of the snaps and totaled 1,200 yards. He played 53.6% of the snaps, finished with 1,176 yards. So the Patriots gave him a $250,000 signing bonus to make up for it.
Mm.
That kind of flies in the face of what most folks say about how Belichick does business.
Yeah, no, and I think that's just rewarding a guy. You know, he was close and he was good. I think he did everything that they asked him to do. And so.
And we're not talking about millions of dollars. So no. The impact on the salary cap is rather minimal. But it says to a guy who's an important part of your team, hey, look, you did everything we asked you to do. You just missed what would have been a nice chunk of money. We're going to make sure you get it.
And it's also a good message to the rest of the team, too. Like, it's not always, hey, we're going to cut these guys or we're going to ask for pay cuts. Like, no, if you play well, you'll get rewarded. And that's what they decided to do there with Lawrence Guy. So that makes a little bit of sense. We have another guy who is the perfect potential Patriot. Do you have this Hunter Renfro thing?
Oh, we do.
So Hunter Renfro, who came onto the scene a couple of years ago at Clemson, and it was the same, you know, the stereotypes, but the slot receiver, he looks like Edelman, he looks like Welker, he looks like all these guys.
I guess he's short, white, plays the slot.
You're correct. Uh-huh. You're 100% correct, but...
I'm also short and white.
Do you want to play the slot for the Patriots?
Hell no, they'll hurt me.
Well, Hunter Renfro does.
Everybody thinks you're destined to become a Patriot.
Yeah.
Have you heard all that?
It's weird, like I mean, I would love to be a Patriot. I would love to be whoever gets me. I mean, that'd be awesome, but... I woke up. I had a dream about I was a Patriot last night. It was the weirdest thing. I went to sleep and I woke up and I was having a meeting with Tom Brady, and it was like the weirdest thing. And I don't say it's just it was. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
He had a dream about Tom Brady. Does that also happen to you?
No, it does happen to Jerry Thornton all the time.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's a problem.
Nightly.
I had a dream where. I don't know how long it lasted, but I really had to pee really badly in the dream, and then that took place in real life.
Why don't we have a Rich's Tales song?
What do you mean? What's wrong with that? That's just
we'll work on it. Wait, did you pee your pants?
No, I didn't pee my pants. But have you ever had that in your dream? So, like, I don't know how long it lasted, like an hour probably? It felt like forever, but in the dream, I was like, man, I really have to pee. And then you wake up and you really have to pee, but it's part of the dream.
Don't you think that the urge to pee... is what precipitated the dream?
Yes.
It wasn't the dream that precipitated
yes,
the other
Yes, but it wasn't.
Thing.
But my point is, it wasn't the urge to pee woke me up, and then I got up and went to bed. The urge to pee took over my dream, and then I was like experiencing that in the dream world.
I don't believe I've ever had a dream about having
to pee.
Oh,
you wait. Well, here's what you do. Drink a ton of water before you go to bed.
Have a couple of fine craft beers.
A few 16-ounce beers.
Sit.
Then go to bed, and that's what you're going to get. Dale, do you want an update on Colin Kaepernick and what might be going on with Colin Kaepernick as it relates to playing in the league?
Probably not a lot on some of the other quarterbacks that I've seen. Trevor Siemian's going to get a job.
Trevor Siemian, and maybe Colin Kaepernick will get a job. We'll have the latest on that when we come back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Dale and Keefe.
Follow Dale on Twitter. At Dale E. Arnold, this is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Dale and Keith, WEEI, and Colin Kaepernick, Dale, I thought was done and was never going to play again, and I still feel that way.
You only thought that before?
But I thought it was for sure.
Oh.
Well, so a few days ago, Jason LaCanfora, he tweeted out this.
Who's been wrong more than Jason LaCanfora?
Charlie Casserly.
Okay.
He said, reached out to a source close to Colin Kaepernick and asked if he was interested in filling the Miami quarterback vacancy. Now, this was before they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. And was
a little late now.
But he said was told, yes, he's training hard and ready to play.
Because you had a starting job open there.
You had a starting job open. And guess what? They have Ryan Fitzpatrick. They still have a starting job open.
Yeah, well.
I don't know who's better right now, but that wouldn't that be a competition if you had both of those guys? Like, I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick is definitely better than Kaepernick. And then he says it could be interesting. And so there was an article written about in the San Francisco Chronicle talking about Colin Kaepernick, and he says, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross is a maverick. He was the lone dissenting vote among NFL owners on the Raiders' move to Las Vegas. Ross is founder of the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, which champions social justice and fights racial discrimination. Goes on to talk about Brian Flores, and it points out that the new Dolphins head coach is black. That's what the article says. And it says not that
Hold on. I think I can confirm that.
Yeah, can you? It says not that every black person or every black coach supports Kaepernick and his cause, but Flores grew up in Brownsville section of Brooklyn, so he might be more sensitive to racial injustice than the average coach and less likely to be a protest hater. That's just speculation.
I mean, I got to be honest with you.
Know the answer to that.
I can't think of a team less likely to sign Colin Kaepernick than the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The video of him wearing his Fidel Castro T-shirt.
There, yeah, good
and
point.
The Cuban-American community in Miami.
Good point.
I would think the Dolphins would say, yeah, no, we're not going
Now,
there.
He's apologized for that one, right? I think he apologized for that and the pig
and
socks.
The pig socks.
I think he did apologize for that. I just thought, I was surprised that, and again, it's Jason Lockin for his source. I don't know if the source is Kaepernick, somebody close to Kaepernick. I don't know what it is, but the fact that he said, yes, he's training hard and ready to play, I hadn't heard that in like 2 years. I had no idea that he had any interest at all in playing. And you look around the league right now, you look at who the starting quarterbacks are around the league, not every team is happy with their guy. But I thought this was out of sight, out of mind. He got a settlement with the league. We don't know exactly how much money he got, but it was probably a lot. Like he could be done. He could just wear his Nikes. He could just do all of that stuff. But the fact that they were even talking about maybe he could be a guy for a team, for Miami or for anybody.
He is never going to be offered a chance to play again.
No, he's not.
You know, and we've run through the list of quarterbacks that teams have signed and, you know, given opportunities to. And as I said, Trevor Siemian's on the list now. It is never going to happen for Colin Kaepernick ever again. And by the way, he already won his case against the league, too.
Yeah, that's true. Now, we have we already mentioned Stephen A. Smith earlier in the show. Skip Bayless has a comparison that certainly nobody else has thought of. I don't think anybody else is on with this comparison. Here's Skip Bayless talking about who could be the next New England Patriots.
What has Jerry Jones' greatest strength always been?
Talking.
Cap wizardry.
No,
I don't know how he does it.
He be talking. That's what
okay?
he...
Maybe he talks his way
exactly.
through the cap. I don't know how he does like, it. He is a businessman, is Skip, Jerry Jones.
You know what?
He knows how to play
I'm not,
with that
I'm not
cap.
Really big into giving yep. discounts, especially to people that doesn't deserve it.
Yep.
If this was the New England Patriots and they had this problem, maybe I could say, look, guys, you know what? I'm trying to keep all this thing together. We can keep it running.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got one playoff mm-hmm. win. Mm-hmm. So? Mm-hmm.
These are the soon-to-be Patriots right here.
You know what, Skip Bayless? You okay?
What have I always told you about Dak? Brady-esque. Brady-esque.
Wait a minute.
Soon-to-be Patriots.
When do I see Coach Belichick? Who's Coach Belichick? Who's coming to coach? Going to be Coach Belichick.
We don't need a coach.
Which one?
We coach ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, Mr. Kraft. Mm. Jerry Jones, Mr. Kraft.
I'll take Jerry.
You know what, Skip Bayless?
What's more offensive?
What the hell was all that?
I don't know
that?
Where he came up with that. So Dak Prescott is like Tom Brady in the Cowboys.
Not much.
The Cowboys have not made it to the conference championship game since 1995. The Patriots make the conference championship game every single year. What, like, this is not anywhere close to a comparison. So they made the playoffs last year. They lost in the divisional round. They missed the playoffs the year before. Like, Jerry Jones is not Robert Kraft, although maybe Robert Kraft, some of the things that he does is more similar to Jerry Jones than I had thought before. But as far as how they couldn't be different owners as far as the football team is concerned. Jerry Jones on the sideline. Jerry Jones drafting players.
He is the general manager.
He is the GM of the team.
I mean, not since the Tabucky Jones stopwatch incident.
And that
Robert
was also
Kraft.
95, probably, yeah. Back when the Cowboys were good. So, yeah, they couldn't be any more different. He is much more hands off and lets Belichick do his thing.
What has Jerry Jones' greatest strength always been?
Talking.
He's probably right about that. Probably is talking.
Mm.
He says cap management? Is he well known around the league for cap management?
Wizardry.
No,
I don't know how he
wizardry?
Does
I don't think he's known for wizardry. He's known for a few things. I think Shannon was right. He's known for talking. There's an odd comparison there from Skip Bayless. Let's
These
go back.
Are the soon-to-be Patriots right here.
No, not even close. Paul's in Abington. He joins us next. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. You guys talking so much about the Sox and especially Mookie Betts. I 100% feel that he'll be back in Boston, either it be this year, next year, or the year after, whenever they sign him. I don't have any reason to believe that he will not be. You played a tape earlier that said, I love Boston. I have yet to hear him say he doesn't want to play in Boston.
No, he said he loves Boston, and in the exact same cut, he also said, but I don't want to undervalue myself.
No, and I get that, but you guys, and I hate to say it this way, you guys create these stories that eventually drive players out of town. I'll put it to that extreme.
Paul, I think he's going to do that to himself. Everybody loves Mookie Betts, but the way he is going about it, he sees Mike Trout sign for $430 million, Bryce Harper sign for $330, Manny Machado sign for $300, and he's not batting an eye. He says he expects to get to free agency. So it sounds like, to me, a guy that doesn't even want to entertain an extension.
I look at it this way. I look at it similar to the Patriots, and it's amazing how more players don't sign here. But what I'm getting at is that Mookie has been in the league, whatever, 4 or 5 years now, and they've competed, I mean, 4 straight years of making the playoffs, competed every year. They should be there every year. So why would you, first of all, want to go anywhere else? And especially if they're going to offer up, in this case of an argument, $400 million.
Well, it's a great question. We're trying to figure that out. I don't know.
That's the question we're asking.
Yeah, I don't know why you're confident that he would.
I don't see him going anywhere. I think he loves this city. I just think he's very low-key. I don't expect to see the enthusiasm. I don't know if you're waiting to see him bursting at the seams, but he's a very low-key guy, and I think he loves this city and doesn't want to go anywhere.
All right, well, Paul, I don't know how you're coming up with that. I think that's just wishful
right,
thinking.
By the way. I mean, that'd be great.
I think it's wishful thinking. That's you like the guy.
Yes, he likes it here. Yes, the fans love him. Yes, he's on a good team. All of that. And yet, what we get is, well, I don't want to sell myself short. You know, I want to set the market for the generations
to
follow.
Yeah, passing the baton and all that stuff.
He sounds as though maximizing his dollar amount is the single most important thing to him.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not knocking that.
Fine.
I'm saying that's what he's in the business for.
But you can't.
That's why he's playing.
You can't be confident like the last call Paul was saying that he's going to be back. He's like, he goes, well, I have no reason to think he would go. It's like, well, I have no reason now to think he's going to stay.
No, it's just the opposite. The more I hear of it, I honestly don't think there's a number the Red Sox could put in front of him that he would accept. You know what it is whatever number they put in front of him, he and his agent say, okay, well, there's the starting point.
Yeah, if that's the line.
Okay, well, we can beat that.
We don't have anybody else involved.
I mean, I swear to God, if they said to him, okay, Mookie, $500 million today. We'll put $500 million on the table right now.
If he turns that down, he's an idiot, if you ask me.
If he turns down $400 million, he's an idiot.
I think so. He's
and
got
I
2 years
know
left.
Athletes never think this way. And I know he thinks, not only will he stay healthy, he'll be great. He'll build on what he did last year. He'll put up monster numbers. He'll increase his value. Guys get hurt. Stuff happens.
Absolutely they do. And it's funny because last year the conversation was about, you know what, there's a lot of young guys on the team. However, the window is actually a lot smaller than you might think. And this is why. This is another reason why. Bogarts and Sale are free agents after this year. JD Martinez can opt out. Rick Porcello is a free agent. Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to be a free agent. Mookie Betts, I think you might end up having to trade him because he doesn't want to re-sign here. So great that they could. Thank God they won it last year, because who knows how much longer this group they'd be possibly able to keep them together. 617-779-7937. We'll find out what else you got.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we come back.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Mookie, going through your own processes and then seeing the other three, Trout, Harper, Machado, do you feel like you've learned anything that has surprised you?
No, not really. I mean, my agents and whatnot, they've done a great job in educating me, and so nothing is really that surprising. It's just take info and just kind of dissect it and keep it moving and keep in mind things for you. And so it's not necessarily surprising. It's just information that's good to know.
That was Mookie Betts today reacting to the Mike Trout deal.
I feel absolutely zero confidence that they're going to be able to sign this guy and keep him here long term.
So the question then becomes, I don't think it's even a question to trade him now, even though you'd get more, because the team's too good. But the question would then become, do you trade him next offseason, or do you say, hey, we're just going to get all we can out of this guy? Two potential, you know, World Series contending teams. I guess you got to see what the roster looks like next year, but chances are they're going to be pretty good. And then you see him walk away for a compensatory pick? I mean, that potentially is what could happen. But this is going to be a big story, I think, really throughout the year. Not that there's going to be a lot of updates throughout it, but, you know, if Mookie Betts goes into a slump or if whatever happens, would he and his agent be willing to negotiate during the year at all? That all remains to be seen. Let's go back to the phones. We got Dave in the car on Mookie Betts. What's up, Dave?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
I'm just saying, you guys are making a big thing out of Mookie Betts and Trout. I mean, these guys are going to produce for the next 12 years. They're going to give guarantee a World Series.
Well, I don't know if anybody's going to guarantee. There's
no
Joe Namath out there, but
Mookie Betts didn't do much in the playoffs last year, if you remember that.
No, he did not, but he did win the MVP in the regular season.
He helped you get there.
One guy doesn't win a team. I take that $500 million. I buy three pitchers and three outfields for the next 5 years.
So you'd rather have an average center fielder or three average center fielders than one elite one?
I'm trying to get three pitchers that can win 12 to 15 games apiece.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, but the pitchers are also pretty expensive.
Those are all about $30-35 million apiece.
You got two $30 million. Well, you got one $30 million. You got one $20 million. You got another guy who's in line for a raise that's going to be up in that area as well. So I don't know if that's really how it works. I mean, it's a lot of money. There's no doubt. And the years, I'm with him on the years. Like, the years seem crazy. Like, before Machado and Harper signed, I was like, 7-8 year deal. Now it's like 13. It's like Rick DiPietro all over again. And Kovalchuk. It's like, what are we doing with these deals? Let's go to Joe down in Rhode Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, quick question for you. Mookie Betts came up as a second baseman. If he stayed at second base, you think he would have gotten the same kind of money?
Hell no. And
I mean, honestly, I think it all depends. Yes, I think it's just about the bat. Robinson Cano got a ton of money. Not this kind, but now it's like a new generation. As long as he hits the way he hits, he's one of the best outfielders.
He won the Gold Glove.
Yeah.
I doubt that he'd win a Gold Glove at second base. Maybe, but I doubt it. Yeah. I mean, I think it just adds to the package. His complete package is as an outfielder.
Oh, I agree. The thing is, too, though, by the time he signs, he's actually going to almost double what Cano signed for. Cano signed for about 240, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, no, he will. And I think he's better than Cano. But I think if you just took his stats last year, he won the batting title, 346. He had an OPS of over 1,000, 32 dingers. He led the league in runs scored. If he did all that as a second baseman, I think he'd still get a ton of money, right? I mean, what's Jose Altuve's current deal, or when is he up? I think whatever that is, I mean, maybe that's kind of a comp. Because either way, I mean, you have him either, you know, leading off like he did last year. You can have him hit lower in the lineup like you're doing this year. It sounds like he's going to hit second. That's all they really care for. I mean, unless he's a butcher at second base.
Altuve signed through next year with just this deal.
Okay.
And he's making $19 million.
Yeah, so next year will be interesting. See what kind of season that he has. I mean, nobody is as consistent as Mike Trout. So when we saw that number come across the board, you're like, all right, nobody realistically should top that number. Doesn't mean that some player won't. Doesn't mean that Mookie Betts won't. If he stays healthy the next 2 years, Dale, he will make more than Trout. Assuming the money continues to go up, which it has, doesn't mean he's better. It just means he's going to hit the market at the right time. And so maybe that's what he's working on.
What else you got?
All right, let's find out what else you got. You want to go first?
Is it possible to be both the best and worst at something at the exact same time?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I probably fit that bill in a few things.
So the National Hockey League Players Association has come out with their annual players poll. And there's, you know, the categories that you'd expect. Who's the most difficult player to play against? Patrice Bergeron is listed as third in the NHL in that category.
Yes.
So they have a question that they asked of the players in the NHL. Who's the game's best trash talker?
Oh, that's got to be easy.
Brad Marchand won in a runaway. Now, he got 21.3% of the vote, but second place was Drew Doughty.
Oh, Drew Doughty?
At 11.8%.
So he's a good trash
talker.
Now,
these are the players who are, you know, right, playing against
the
these guys.
I see these guys.
So they also asked, who's the game's worst trash talker? Brad Marchand.
Oh.
12.5% of the vote. The second place went to Antoine Roussel of Vancouver at 5.5%. So, according to the players in the NHL, Brad Marchand is both the best and worst trash talker, to which Brad Marchand responded his thanks, allowing him to climb to the very top of his profession.
I think Marchand is also the best Twitter and Instagram chirper in the game.
He has turned his game up a lot.
Did you
here
see his most recent one where he did a side-by-side of David Pasternak and Danger Aaron from Jackass, where they were doing the terrorist taxi? They're just comparing the beards.
Yeah.
And let's just say Danger Aaron didn't have facial hair on his face.
Yeah, the Pasternak beard anyway. It's just...
But I think that's why he did the side-by-side.
No, I know, but it's just like one of those looks. It's just...
But that was such a ridiculous payoff, too. Was that Jackass 1 or 2? I don't even remember.
The first one.
That was the first one. What a ridiculous payoff that was.
Pasternak said last night that he's thinking about shaving it off, but he said he's not going to do it until after the road trip because he's too lazy.
Okay.
I appreciate his honesty.
I don't blame him for that. Yeah. No, that's good.
What else you got?
Dale, the Major League Baseball season is underway, and you know what that means.
I did one of these once. I was there for the start of a Major League Baseball season in Tokyo.
That's right.
At the Egg Dome.
Brandon Moss, can you believe it?
Yeah, wasn't exactly. Brandon Moss? Yeah.
I'm talking about Twitter team hashtags. That's right. They have the hashtags for 2019. So
if you use
the hashtag on the old Twitter, you get the logo of your team. So all you got to do is type this in, and then all season long, you get the logo. Some have very basic ones, like hashtag White Sox or hashtag Rockies.
I could probably get those correct.
Then you get the little logo. Others try way too hard, including the Red Sox. Oh, you want to take a stab at what the Red Sox is?
Damage done again.
Damage done.
How about dirty water?
You're correct.
I am.
Yes, you are.
They did this last year.
They did the same one?
Yeah, last year during the season, it was dirty water.
I don't like it. It's dirty water again. Hashtag dirty water, and you get the B. Because I like the little B. That's a good time. But dirty water, we can't do better than
any
that.
Any rant, like just completely like ridiculous one?
There's a few. There's ring the bell.
That's Royals?
That's Phillies. Well, they got the Liberty Bell there, I guess.
I guess.
That's
ridiculous.
Rooted in Oakland, if you can guess who that is.
Let me see if I can figure out.
What about the Friar Faithful?
Padres.
Yes, that is the Padres.
I thought that would just be Machado.
Time to fly. Time to fly.
Well, there's...
The Cleveland Indians.
It is not. It is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Birds.
Together We.
Oh, that's got to be the Marlins.
Nope. Together We is the Rangers.
Huh?
Yep. There's also a few like Let's Go Blue Jays. Let's go Blue Jays. Let's go Blue Jays. Rattle On for the D-backs. There's a whole bunch of these. They're not
the Royals.
The Halo Way. Oh, the Royals are hashtag always royal.
The Giants is really creative.
SF Giants. Actually, I respect that more. If it was just hashtag Red Sox and then you put the little logo,
I would
like that a lot more. All right, that's going to do it for us. That's the program. OMF is John our producer du jour tomorrow as well?
He is not.
Oh.
Well,
keep us
honest,
on our toes.
After that call that he screened earlier today, I went to management.
That's a good point.
Shuffled out the door.
Thanks, Dale.
No problem.
We'll find out tomorrow at around 9:30 who our producer is. We'll
but
be back.
More importantly, you guys will be here.
We will be here
you
tomorrow at 10. OMF is next. WEEI.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
We're stopping by!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.